Ever this, some of them I haven't seen in 30 years. So that'll be a lot of fun, so you can pray for that. And then also I visited a friend who lives just outside of Norwich. His name is Sonny. Every time when I go there, me and my wife and my kids, because they have this big kind of farm. They have horses, chickens, they breed dogs and stuff. You never know what kind of animals you're going to see when you go over there. And I saw him last time back in 08. And it's amazing what God does. Because a lot of times, for him, he really is a non-believer. He never goes to church like the average, pagan, if you would, unbeliever. And he said, well, I want to go to my favorite fish and chip place. And I'm thinking it's just around the corner. No, he wants to go to the Norfolk coast, and then he parks up the car, and it's a 2-mile walk along the beach. Wasn't my idea of fun. A little bit too much, nature for my liking. But as we were walking, he actually explained to me that he, a couple of years ago, actually came down with cancer. And long story short, as they were operating on him, he had the cancer under his eye and in his neck. And as they were operating on him, he actually lost consciousness and stopped breathing. And what had happened is that he had... they actually had to use the paddles to revive him. And what he had said, he said he felt that his soul had left his body. And he described this vision and everything like that. And I was just taken back because it's only a couple of years since I last saw him. And sometimes it's surprising if what happens in people's lives, you think that they're just going to have this run-of-the-mill experience, go to work, take care of the kids, eat, sleep, watch TV, and get up the next day. But no, just to hear that story, and what was amazing, he said, Marvin, I've only told two people this. One is my wife, and the other person is you. And I was just taken back by that. People are starving for people to really listen to them. I think when they have these spiritual experiences, a lot of times people around them, they really have nobody to talk to because people will laugh at them or mock them. But to him, this was a real experience. So you can definitely pray for Sonny as we move forward here. And, looking forward to him. Getting to know him, reconnecting with him, and then also studying the Bible with him in the weeks to come. But definitely keep him in your prayers. So that's the update on Norwich. Just wanted to tell you that. I know you all wanted to know. Today we're going to talk about a human being. Any human beings here? Oh, and the rest of you are aliens like my wife. Okay. All right, a little quote. It says, life is lively process of becoming. Let us sink in a little bit. According to Douglas MacArthur, that life is a process. You never arrive. You're always becoming. Now, I don't know what he meant when he was thinking of this. But the bottom line is, us in Christ, the ultimate thing that we're trying to become is what? Like Christ. Thank you. The human beings are with me, and I'm trying to win over the aliens right now. So today we're going to talk about Paul. And we're going to look at Paul's life between AD 38 and also when he pretty much was converted by Christ, and then we're going to go up to 61. And if you look at this passage right here in 1 Timothy 1:13, this is what Paul says about himself. He says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. When Paul was met by Jesus, the vision of Christ, what happened is, this describes where his heart was at. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor of Christians, a violent man. And he knew that he needed intervention from Christ. I look back on my life, and that's really what I was. I was a very violent man. You would not know that. No, you think I was always been this kind of gentle guy, this big softy. That's what my wife calls me, a big softy. I've been getting softer as I got older, but that's a whole other story. Maybe I need to go to this gospel fitness thing. I see men weren't invited. I have rhythm. I'll get over it, though. At the beginning, when Paul was a Pharisee, he was a religious zealot. He put his confidence in the flesh. He describes himself as a Hebrew of Hebrews. Just imagine saying, I'm a Christian of Christians. My goodness, what a comment, huh? He put his energy in the wrong things. Can you relate sometimes? Going and never really having any. It's like, what did I do? I'm tired, but I don't think I did anything today. I just got up. I got up this morning and felt tired. He was deceived. He was passionately wrong. It's one being wrong, but passionately wrong. Then Paul, I mean, he went out to kill Christians. He honestly felt that he was 100% right, killing and persecuting Christians. You know, some of us may be kind of on the sidelines. I wouldn't do that. But he went after it. Hell-bent after doing what he passionately thought was right, but it was wrong. He hated what God loves. Obviously, God loved his son Jesus. Paul did not. Or Saul at the time, if you would. And obviously, he went after the disciples. We talked about that. And ultimately, he was passionless. Let's take a look at a scripture, shall we? Are you with me this morning? Good. 1 Corinthians. We're just warming up here this morning. That's good to be back. Actually, next week we're going to speak down in the south. And then about beginning of December, actually going up to Edinburgh. So I haven't been up there in a few years. So it'll be nice to go up there and visit Ben and the guys. So we see where Paul is at in AD 38. And then we look at 19 years later, at about 57. And we see Paul's transformation. So let's start in verse 20. It says, to the Jews I became like a Jew. That was easy for him, because he was a Jew. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. So he already had that one down. He says, to those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself was not under the law. That must have been tough for him. So to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law and under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became the weak. That's interesting. When you look at Paul, 19 years previously, he was not, I don't really sense from him having this compassion for the weak. Can I get an amen to that? He says, to win the weak. He says, I have become all things to all men. What a statement. Going from Hebrews to Hebrews, and in 19 years, saying that I have become all things to all men. What a transformation. And he says, by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Let's jump down to verse 26. He says, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. So after when I preach to others, I may not be disqualified for the prize. Then you ask yourself, and I touched on this earlier, where do we put all our energy? Luke 8:14, it says that the life's worries, riches, and pleasures will choke out the word of God. A lot of times it's the worries and pleasures and riches of this life that actually choke out the word of God. And a lot of times if you're choking, I don't know about you, all I'm thinking about is the next breath. When you're trying to think, trying to save yourself and try to get the next breath, you're not thinking about saving others. I'm not a very good swimmer. I just want to tell you that. I was at Sea Scouts here in England. Almost drowned in a canoe. I was wearing a life jacket and I was almost drowned in a canoe. That's a whole other subject. See, what are we fighting for? Are we spending all our energy in kids, work, school, our spouse, the home? Are we wasting our energy on friendships? That's interesting. Where are you going with that, Marvin? Sometimes people are open for relationships, but they're not open for the gospel. And we waste all our time building relationships, especially if we've been around people for 20, 30 years, 10 years even. And they're great friends, but they're not open to the gospel. But are we winning? Paul could relate. I became weak to the weak. I became Jews to the Jews. I became like those under the law. But it was all for a purpose. Are you fighting for some me time? Sometimes we're fighting God by doing nothing. There's sins of omission and sins of commission. The good we ought to do. Sometimes just by sitting there, being apathetic and complacent, we could be fighting against God. Unconfessed sin and unrepentant sin will stop God from using us. Let's look at 20 years later what Paul became. He became a zealot for Christ. Can I get an amen for that? He went from the zealot for against Christians to a zealot for Christ. And I remember the first time I was coming around the church. I actually came to church to take Charisse, my girlfriend, out of it. That's not good. I remember coming to church the first time. Everybody was standing up, singing, having a great time like you guys. I'm sitting in the chair going. I remember once sitting by somebody and they had their Bible and they're like, oh, this guy don't have his Bible. Let me share mine. I pushed it back. Yes, I did. I was a bad man. But look where I am today. A transformation. In 19 years. Next year will be our 20-year spiritual anniversary. Birthday. He was known to be the prophet, the missionary for the Gentiles. After the vision, he was saying, Jesus told him that you will be the prophet for the Gentiles. And he commissioned him to do that. See, we can never expect, and the reason why I put NS there to remind me, we can never convert non-smokers or smokers being in the non-smoking section. Does it make sense? Was it that way around? I'll go slower. You can never convert smokers by staying in the non-smoking section. Should I say it again? Because what do we want to do? We want to be around our religious friends. We want to be in our safe environments. We don't want to go into where they're cursing and being rowdy and obtuse. Can we relate to the weak and poor like Paul? He was also known for kings and governors. We see that in the latter part of Acts, that he's there with Agrippa. What a contrast in somebody that can relate to the weak and poor and also relate to kings and governors. What a transformation in 19 years. Every interaction, every person, it was always about others. How's our consciousness of others? Some of us have been around the church 10, 15, 20 years, and we don't even have a consciousness of others. Consciousness of people's lostness, let alone to relate, and let alone to win. Paul had a godly character that he was living an intentional life. Knowing who you are and what you are not, that's very important. Paul knew that. He says, this is where I'm at. That I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, just I could work with the Jews, but now God has taken me and transformed me into who I am today. And ultimately an opportunity to be like Christ. I like doing comparisons. I pretty much touch all this. Boop, 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 boop. Paul without Christ, Paul with Christ. And it's kind of interesting when you look at Galatians 2, became like a Gentile. He was livid that James and the brothers would not even sit down and fellowship with the brothers in Antioch. Absolutely indignant. Because he had become a Gentile himself to win Gentiles. What have you become over the last 15, 20 years? Can you look back and say, wow, I am transformed? Can you say that I not only have a consciousness, I can relate, and in turn, God has brought me to this mature level in Christ that now I win. Are we spiritually aware? I think to be a winning person for souls, we've got to be a prayerful person. We've got to relate and connect with the poor. How much are we spending with the poor? I appreciate my wife. There's a little grocery store where we are. And there's normally this lady. I think she's a Muslim lady, is she? Not sure. I think she wears the... It's not. But my wife was just saying, that's not even the point. But my wife was so moved by her out there selling her little magazines. And she would give her money and not even accept the magazines. And she was so moved one day that she literally bent down and gave this woman a hug. And this woman was shocked. And almost felt her like melt in her arms. That somebody would touch her. Let alone look at her. Or just throw her a few pennies. But that was an experience. But are we willing to not only relate but also connect with the poor, but also win the poor? Can we relate and counsel the weak to the weak we've become weak? Relate with the wealthy and the influential. Sometimes we're either one or the other. Sometimes we can relate up here, but we can't relate down here. And most of us can relate with the weak and the more of the working class, but we can't connect with the affluent. Relate to pagans or non-believers. And that's a big thing for me as I come back to England is to really, because we come from a very religious environment. Oh my goodness. It seemed that everybody knew their Bible. Everybody went to church. And coming here, hardly anybody goes to church. It's a really massive shift for me. Spiritually. And even over the last few weeks I've been here, I've just been listening and asking questions and trying to understand what makes this culture tick. It's, even though I was born here, sometimes after 22 years you'd be detached. If we're going to have a church that is thriving and healthy and dynamic in knowledge, we've got to become all things to all people. I've got to do that. Relate to other cultures. If we're going to convert Muslims, we need to understand the mindset. If we're going to convert Hindus, we need to understand that. If we're going to convert traditional English people, we've got to understand that culture. Not only understand it, but then relate, and then we've got to win. We've got to have an intentional life. Making sure that we don't get too comfortable in fears. But not just relate, but win. That's what I want us to walk away from here. One part, anyway. One, we've got to see lostness to win. Think about that. You've got to see lostness to win. You've got to see a person's lostness. If we're not connected with the lostness, we're not going to win them for Christ. Make sense? Turn back to verse 22. You like this. Not a lot, but you like it. In verse 22, it says, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I become all things to all men. By all possible means I might save some." So we have an encouragement right here. It says, all things, all men, by all possible means, equals what? All. No? That's not right. That equation doesn't add up. Does it add up for you? Now, normally we want this equation. Don't we? That's the Western way. How can I do the least and get the most? Don't you go to work and say, how can I just get by here and still get a good check at the end of the week? See, Paul came to the acknowledgement that it's going to take all plus all plus all equals some. We cannot expect to put some in, some things in, relate to some men, and put some of our means in to get all. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Turn over to Philippians 3. I'm going to end it right here. Now, Paul, at this time, acknowledging that he has become weak to the weak, Jews to the Jews, relating and winning those under the law, a Gentile to the Gentiles. And I'm thinking, this guy's got it made. He has arrived. But in Philippians 3 and verse 4, let's pick up in the top of the paragraph there at the bottom. It says, "If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, and for legalistic righteousness, faultless." What a statement. "But whatever was to my profit, I consider loss. For the sake of Christ, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness on my own, that through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ." Had he arrived? No. Even though he said, to convert the weak, I've become weak. To a Jew, he says, I have not arrived. 20 years into this, I have not arrived. And he says, you know what I want to know? He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. He says, I have not arrived. I want to suffer. I want to know Christ by becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. What a statement. He could have easily settled and say, you know what? I've connected with the weak. I've connected with the poor. I've connected with the affluent. I've connected with the Jews. Those, you know, under the law. He could have even said, I'm a Gentile of Gentiles. But he says, there's one thing that I constantly strive to be. Like Jesus in his death. I want to know that. Wow. What do we want? Where are we at this morning? What do we really want to know? We want to know our Bibles a little bit better? Do we want to be committed to church? It's a lot more than that. When I see Paul, it was all about others. He understood by learning about people, people that were not like himself. And that's the beauty of this fellowship. We have so many people. There's people from some South Africa. There's people from the Caribbean, from Africa. We have some traditional English people here. From the Caribbean. Anybody from the Caribbean here? Woohoo, the same few earlier. Life is a lively process of becoming. Have you arrived? Are you still changing and evolving? You know, hopefully, I don't know what's going to happen in the next few years or what God is going to do with Norwich and whatever, but hopefully, if you see me in the next couple of years, hopefully, I'm still becoming. Part of the reason why we're over here, part of the reason why we sold everything to come here, came here with 10 suitcases, is to keep on becoming. Because I've really felt in my heart that I've arrived. I'm 45 years old. And everything in my body is saying, slow down. Watch X Factor. It is. Everything's screaming out of me. I'm serious. But I want to become like Christ. I'll skip that. Interesting. Are we human doings or human beings? Look over that list and ask yourself, which side am I on? Are we into churchianity or Christianity? Some of the things that jump out at me, do I want to know my Bible or do I really want to know Christ? Am I waiting to be told or do I initiate and I'm alert? Am I looking outward or inward? A lot of times we can look outward for inspiration. And there is inspiration outward. But God has given us so much that we can be inspired by, like the Holy Spirit. We can lack consciousness or we can have a consciousness for the love lost. We can stay the same or becoming all things to all men by all possible means. We can be doing religion or we're becoming like Jesus Christ our Lord. Why are we here? Why do we come here every Sunday? Why do we do what we do? It's ultimately to know Jesus Christ. And to know who He is, even to the point of His suffering and His death. He says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Live from day to day such a self-forgetful way. And even when I kneel and pray, my prayers will be for others. Help me in all the work I do to be sincere and true. And everything I do, let it be in the need for others. That self be crucified and slain and buried deep within with all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven has begun, may I forget the crown I've won while still thinking of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let my motto be. Help me live for others just like Thee. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Marvin. Marvin's job really is just to convey the Word of God to us to help us understand God's heart and why God wants us to live a certain way. Becoming like Christ, as Marvin talked about this morning, it's great to be reminded in a very realistic way, I think, as many of our lives have been described on many of those slides. Even this morning I was on the computer looking at a mobile phone and I went out to pray afterwards. I thought, wow. Why was I doing that on a Sunday morning looking through the internet for a mobile phone when there are lost souls? And I was convicted. I thought, wow, many years ago I wouldn't have done that. I'd have been more focused on the needs of others rather than these small and trivial things. So as he was going through the sermon this morning, I was impacted. I could relate to various areas of my life where my focus has been off. The great thing is, and I think the great encouragement from what we've learned this morning, is that becoming like Christ is a wonderful thing. It's not a burden. It's not like our life will be more miserable when we become like Christ. In fact, it will be the other way around. We will have the peace and the joy and the security. The other great thing is that it's a decision. What we heard this morning, no one's asking you to do something you cannot do. It's a decision to say, I want to become more like Christ and to imitate Christ. So thank you very much, Marvin.